Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Hear it from the doctor with expert guests from the American Academy of Pediatrics. It's Healthy Children. Now, our favorite mom, Melanie Cole, MS.
Have you noticed that you have an anxious teen, that they're always worried about everything? You know, some worry is normal, but when it becomes a little bit more than normal, could it be that they're clinically depressed? Could it be even that they're having, God forbid, thoughts of suicide? And is there a way to stop that, prevent it, and hopefully help them? My guest is Dr. Linda Reed Chasiekos. She's a clinical assistant professor of pediatrics at the David Geffen School of Medicine. Welcome to the show, Dr. Reed. So, anxious teens, how do we spot normal anxiety because they've got a test or a boyfriend or this or that to something that might be just a little bit more something we worry about?
That's a very good question. By the way, thank you for having me on. These are serious questions because anxiety is normal. You're absolutely right. We're all anxious. But when it becomes abnormal, well, let's go back hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. Back in the days when we were living in caves, our bodies at that time needed to have a very quick reaction to help us run away from that aggressive woolly mammoth that was coming after us. So our body would release adrenaline in what is called a fight-or-flight reaction. Our bodies gave us adrenaline, which either gave us the strength to fight and kill the woolly mammoth or to run away and escape to fight another day. Well, today's world, thankfully, we don't have any woolly mammoths to fight. But we do have stressors. We do have things in our life, whether, as you said, it's taking a test or making a public presentation or doing something like reaching out to make a new friend, that are very, very stressful for many people. And our body reacts just as if it were hundreds of years ago by releasing adrenaline, by making our heart beat faster, by making our hands shake, by making our hands and feet cold, by making our breathing shallow and having difficulty in catching our breath. Some people even have chest pain and a feeling that doom is coming. In other words, it's a reaction that's not just a mild nervousness, but it could be chest pain, stomach pain, headache, a feeling almost like you're having a heart attack. And so this type of anxiety reaction tends to interfere with the things that children, teens, and adults need to do in life. And
well, you certainly don't want to have a teen, and you don't want to have a teen that's getting headaches because of their upcoming test, or that they're so freaked out about a social situation or something that they can't even function when it starts to really disturb function. So what is the first line of treatment if you sense over anxious or possibly depression? Is it therapy? Is it medication? What do you
do? Anxiety often comes coupled with depression, and we'll talk a little bit about depression. Anxiety and depression do tend to run in families. And again, we believe that there's a biological reason for that. Perhaps an overactivity of those nerves that trigger the release of adrenaline. So there are methods and mechanisms that we can help people deal with anxiety and depression. I wanted to talk a little bit about depression. I'll come back about what to do with anxiety in a moment. Depression usually has symptoms that are felt to be sometimes the opposite of anxiety. Instead of thinking of an engine that's revved up with anxiety, folks with depression typically tend to be kind of slowed down. Everything seems to slow down. People feel fatigued. Their appetite may go down or it may go up with maybe some comfort foods. They may be sleeping more. They may be more withdrawn, quieter, more soft-spoken. They may withdraw from pleasurable activities that they used to enjoy, whether it's friends or after-school activities or enjoyment of classroom activities, participation in class, etc. So it's usually the flip side. But in children and teens, depression sometimes manifests itself what we call paradoxically. In other words, a teen who's depressed may sometimes seem anxious. They may be irritable. They may be acting out. They may be misbehaving. They may be seeking to medicate themselves either for anxiety or depression with medications such as substances, drugs that they may get from friends or others. So anxiety and depression often go hand in hand, and sometimes it can be difficult to determine whether a teen is anxious or whether a teen is depressed. So there are some things that parents can do to help a teen open up a little bit and talk about things. One of the things, we all want our children to do well, but putting too much pressure on teenagers can create anxiety. And if someone has a tendency to be depressed, if they don't achieve the levels of what the parents would want them to achieve, they may become depressed. They may suffer a loss of self-esteem. They may feel that the pressure is too high on them, whether that's in the classroom or on the athletic field. So one of the things that parents can do is to be welcoming and open to young people, to allow them to communicate their feelings, their worries, their stresses, and to listen non-judgmentally, to let the teenager talk about what's worrying them and let them express their feelings.
Okay, so letting teens express their feelings is a great idea. It's also a bit intimidating sounding because sometimes their feelings come out. I mean, we all know the teenage brain is such an unusually, you know, shaped thing. It's not fully developed, and they have some bizarre thoughts. So we just let them get that out and think they're, you know, and hope that that's
Asking for help is always something that we recommend. But let's take a simpler situation. Let's take a teen who maybe gets anxious about reaching out and making friends, a teen who is anxious about test taking or making presentations. One of the things that psychologists do in helping folks deal with anxiety and stress is, let's go back to our example of the caveman and the woolly mammoth, only let's call it a saber-toothed tiger. The caveman will look and see what he or she thinks is a saber-toothed tiger and get appropriately anxious. But in reality, if that saber-toothed tiger isn't really a tiger, but a kitty cat, then that anxiety is overreacting. And so helping the individual, the teen, understand that it's really a kitty cat and not a saber-toothed tiger is something that parents can do.
Okay, so we can help them not overreact, and we don't have much time, but I want to get to, we only have a minute, Dr. Reed, so suicide prevention, if we think that our children are that close to the edge, is there a way to stop that, catch it?
Critically important. 80% of people who are thinking about suicide or who go ahead and try a suicide either act or attempt have reached out to somebody. If you hear talk about suicide, you should not react with anger or distress. You should ask the individual questions like, have you thought about suicide? Have you thought about how you might commit suicide? And if they come back with some answers that make you believe that this is a serious and realistic concern, you should get help right away. Sometimes help means going to the doctor, not leaving the teen alone under any circumstances, going to the doctor, to the pediatrician, or to the emergency room if need be. And if there's any question that the teen might be thinking about doing something to harm themselves right away, then it's critically important. You can even call 911. Do not leave the teen alone in that circumstance.
And so that's really, I'm sorry we're out of time, but the best advice is to take those kinds of things seriously. Look for signs of anxiety and depression in your teen, and then you can work together with them. You're listening to Healthy Children on Radio MD. Stay well.